to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Tonight we are doing the second half of the lesson we began a couple weeks ago. I wasn't here last Wednesday. I was speaking to the young people. But we began a lesson 2 weeks ago called Effective Prayer. And we'll do a quick review and then get into the new material. But first of all, I have to read you one of my favorite prayers of all times. Now, I've read it to you all before, but I think it's been a couple of years, so you may or may not remember, or maybe you weren't here. But here's one of my favorite prayers. If you like this and you think it'll work for you, I can make you a copy, okay? It says, "Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, I haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to have to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help."
I want a copy.
Okay. So anyway, we laugh, you know, because it's like, well, I'm still laying in bed, so I can get away with saying I haven't done anything wrong yet. But it just illustrates we really need God's help all the time. And, you know, one of the purposes of prayer is to seek God's help. That's for sure. But we have been talking about prayer since the first of the year. Effective prayer, ineffective prayer. And so let's just do a really, really quick review before we jump into the new material. And that is that many times people have the wrong idea about prayer. They think it's all about getting what we want or need from God. Okay? But that is not the primary purpose of prayer. God welcomes us to bring our requests to Him. But the primary purpose of prayer is about relationship, not results. Okay? Effective prayer is about relationship, not just results. We can bring God our requests. We can talk to Him about anything. We should talk to Him about anything or everything, just like we do any other relationship, because it's all about the relationship. Just to be very, very simple about it at all, to know that you had an effective prayer time is, did I grow in my relationship with the Lord? Did I connect with my Heavenly Father? Did we have some communication? Did we interact with one another? Whether we get what we hope we're going to get or whatever is totally irrelevant to whether our prayer is effective or not, okay? Real quick review on your note sheet. There's something's effective if it does what it was designed to do, and the primary goal of prayer is not just having our requests granted. The primary goal of prayer is to spend time in conversation with our Father, to build that relationship, to communicate, to work together with Him, okay? The first lesson, we talked about three types of prayers Jesus said are totally ineffective. From Matthew chapter 6, prayers that aren't prayed. If you don't pray, it's not going to be effective. Prayers meant to impress others or prayers meant to oppress or manipulate God. Those are three examples that Jesus gives. He says, when you pray. He doesn't say if you pray or when you get around. He says, when you pray. So we pray. And we don't do it to impress other people. We don't do it to impress God or manipulate Him. It's about relationship. All right? So when we began this part of the lesson on effective prayer, we said there's going to be four things we're going to talk about that will help us to be more effective in our prayer. The first one, again, from 2 weeks ago, prayer is effective when we come to God as our Father. The passages we've been looking at are all part of the Sermon on the Mount. And when you read through the Sermon on the Mount, there's a couple different times Jesus talks about prayer or coming to God, and He always encourages us to refer to God and to relate to God and to understand God as our Father. That's if we have a relationship with Him, okay? God is not the Father of everybody. There's this idea that, well, God is everyone's Father. No, He's not. He's everyone's Creator. He's only Father to those who have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. John 1 tells us that. So prayer is effective when we come to God as our Father, and we seek to grow in our relationship with Him, and we're seeking His agenda, not just ours. And that's demonstrated in the Lord's Prayer. You know, He says, pray, you know, for His honor, hallowed be Your name. For His kingdom, for His will, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He invites us to bring our requests too, you know, our physical needs. He says, give us this day our daily bread, and that really is supposed to cover all of our needs, but also our spiritual needs of forgiveness and protection and help with evil and temptation, okay? And the second thing that makes our prayers effective is our prayer is effective when we come to God frequently. He says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. And the words that are used there is ask and keep on asking. So we keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. We're to persevere in prayer, okay? And it's not in the sense that we've got to nag God to get what we want. It's we stay in contact with God, and that as we come to Him, we build that relationship. And for the things that we're asking for, God works in and through that to do things in us, to do things through us, to do things in our circumstances, to do things in other people's circumstances, to bring about the answers at the right time. And so that's why we persevere. So we shouldn't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because the promise is that God always answers genuine prayer. Always. God always answers prayer. It's just He doesn't always say yes. We're going to dig into that tonight. We think unless God says yes, He hasn't answered. But that's not true. Sometimes God gives a different answer than just yes. Okay? And so God always answers genuine prayer. That's why Jesus said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Not just sometimes, all the time. See, who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Again, that's not a promise that you're going to get exactly what you ask for, but it is a promise that God will always hear and God will always respond. We'll talk more about how He does that tonight. So that gets us all caught up to where we are, okay? So the third thing that makes prayer is effective when we trust God to give us what is best in His timing. I think on your note sheet I have chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. It should be chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. So you might want to correct that, okay? So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Jesus says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now there's a parallel passage in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Same exact teaching, but Jesus gives a different illustration. He says, which of you, even though you're evil, if your son asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Okay? And so between the two places there, it gives you three different illustrations. And he also changes it a little bit to say, if then you are who are evil know how to give good gifts to your Father, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? Now, some people point at those two passages and say, see, there's contradiction in the Bible. There's not contradiction in the Bible. You know, Jesus taught this stuff everywhere he went. Most everything we read about in the Gospels, Jesus probably taught 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 times. And maybe changed it up a little bit from place to place, changed illustrations. There's no contradiction, just different illustrations, different applications here. All right. Now, he says here, if you then who are evil, why does he call us evil? Because we are. Just some real honesty there, right? How many of you feel like totally evil? Lisa feels totally evil. We're going to pray for her after service. Okay. We are all sinners, right? And I think that the point that Jesus is trying to make is compared to God, it's like God's white, we're black. Okay? It's God's holy and righteous, we're evil. It's just the just total opposites. Okay? It doesn't mean that we're terrible people. He just says our sinful nature compared to God's holy nature is that, you know, the point Jesus is making is that we mess up all the time, but we still try to do the right thing. How much more will God, who is a perfect, good, good Father, how much more will He always want to do the good thing? Okay? So here's some thoughts that go with this passage. Letter A on your note sheet is God gives good gifts. God gives good gifts. Jesus said, you know, if you, being evil, you got a sinful nature, you make mistakes, you do things wrong sometimes, your son comes and asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. He asks for fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. He asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. Okay? How much more will your loving Heavenly Father not do that? James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You know, I don't know about you, but as a father and as a grandfather now, and for the last 14 or so years, I love giving my daughters and my granddaughters good things. I mean, we may joke around at Christmas time about kids getting coal in their stocking. Y'all understand that cultural reference, right? Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Is that because you got coal in your stockings? Oh, okay. We may joke around about that, but we want to give our kids good things, right? Give our grandkids good things. We certainly don't want to hurt them or harm them. And Jesus says, how much more will God respond to his children the same way? So does that mean that God will give us whatever we ask for? No. Why not? Why, Rupert? It may not be his will. So it may be his will to give us bad things. It may be his will to not do good for us. No. Okay, so in what sense, if we're asking for something, it's not God's will to give it to us? Oh, see, now you're adding to it because it may not be good for us. All right, yeah, exactly. Okay. What, you know, going back to our illustration of us with our kids or our grandkids or people we love, what keeps us from giving them what they ask for when we do not give them what they ask for? Yes, Amanda. We don't want to spoil them. All right. Why else? We don't have the money. Now, that's not a problem with God. God has every resource. So that one doesn't work in the illustration, but still, that's true for us. Yeah, John?
You know it's not good for us.
Okay, it's what Rupert said before, because he knows it's not good for us. Okay, Chris? It might be dangerous. All right, Leland?
Maturity.
Okay, because maybe it takes a level of maturity. All right. In other words, maybe God will say, hey, I think maybe you can have that, but not right now. Yeah, we'll get back to that later on tonight, too. Okay? All right, so there's a lot of different reasons why God may not give us exactly what we ask for, and we'll get into those in more detail in just a little bit. The second thing, letter B, is God will not play games with our prayers. In other words, if we're praying and something happens, it's like, God, why'd you do that? That's just the opposite of what I asked for. That's not what I asked for. You know, just know God is not playing games. It's not like God says, you're asking for bread, I'm going to give you a rock that looks like bread. You know? You're asking for a nice fish to eat, I'm going to give you an eel that's going to sting you or something, you know. It made me think of when I was a teenager and I was working on a construction site one summer at our church. And we'd have breaks and they had a Coke machine. And I had this friend and I just wanted to play a joke on him. And so I set this all up, okay. And I got two Cokes out of the Coke machine. And this was earlier than the break. And I took a nail and I drove it into the bottom of one of the Cokes and drained the Coke out. And I filled it up with water. Put tape on the bottom, and it came break time. I said, hey, I got you a Coke. And we're walking across the parking lot, and I open my Coke. I'm taking a sip, and he opens his Coke. And he took a drink, and he just spewed that water everywhere. And it wasn't there was anything wrong. I mean, I didn't fill it with, like, mustard or peppers or anything. It's just he was expecting Coke, and it wasn't Coke. You know, and he just knew he had something in his mouth that was not Coke. And he just spewed it all out. So anyway, I wasn't usually a practical joker, but that was a lot of fun. So it's amazing I didn't turn into one, but that was fun. So, but God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't, you know, these cultural things that Jesus said made perfect sense. You know, when he says he won't, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. And we probably think, well, how could you confuse the two? We think of either a loaf or a slice. But that wasn't how they had their bread. Their bread was small, round, like a dinner roll size thing. And it'd be very easy to have a loaf, a roll of bread that looked like a rock. Or vice versa, a rock that looked like a loaf. Okay. And in the same way, a fish giving a snake, the snake there's probably talking about an eel. Okay. Or some kind of unclean fish. There were fish or eels that were in the Sea of Galilee and in that area that you would catch that looked like a fish. But you couldn't eat it. It wasn't good for you. It wasn't clean according to Jewish, kosher laws and that kind of stuff. But still, you wouldn't want to eat it. Okay? And then the egg and the scorpion, there were certain scorpions they had over there that when they all curled up, they looked like a little egg. And that was even more dangerous. You know, you get what you think was an egg, and here it's a scorpion, and it uncurls and stings you. So God's not going to play games with our prayers. Now, it may take some faith to believe that sometimes when we're praying for one thing, and it seems like just the opposite happens. You know, we're praying for healing, and we get sicker. Or we're praying for this and something bad, whatever. We just got to understand that God in his wisdom and the way he's working will not play games with us. Okay? Let us see here, and here's really the main point, is that God always answers our prayers, but in his way, with perfect love and wisdom. Now, I read that in one of the resources I was studying for this lesson, that God answers in perfect love and wisdom. I like that it has both love and wisdom. What's the problem with somebody answering only in love? As far as a person is concerned, obviously God's omniscient and he knows. But, you know, as a human being, if we just respond to things our kids ask us for, our grandkids, out of love without using wisdom, what can happen? We can give them something that's not good for them, something that's dangerous for them. It's like, we love them so much, and they're asking for this, and they wear, you know, your kids probably, grandkids never, ever probably nag you about things and all that, wear you down. You know, no, they can wear you down. You know, it's like, oh, you know, not, they probably, hopefully wouldn't go, if you really love me, you'd give, because most of the time we say, well, then forget it then, you know. But you know, if we love our kids so much, in fact, that's probably one of the, and we could do a whole discussion on this, but we won't. One of the biggest problems in our culture today is because of our love for our kids, we probably give them a whole lot more than we should. We probably indulge them a whole lot more. Like Amanda said earlier, God doesn't want to spoil us. We probably spoil our kids a lot more than we should. So God answers with perfect love, but also perfect wisdom. You know, God, we got this picture of God as Father, and we talked last week about how, you know, if you didn't have a good father, don't know who your father is, especially if you had an abusive father, that's something that's kind of hard to get past. But even those who have not had a good relationship with their father have in their mind an idea of what a good father is supposed to be like, okay? And God is that good, good father, like the popular song says. He's the perfect father, all right? And so I want us to just, for a minute in these sub-points, look at God's responses to our prayers from the viewpoint of a good father's response to a child's request. We always want God to say yes. But first of all, sometimes a good father must say no. Okay? You know, a child can ask for something that's totally inappropriate, but they think that it is. Okay? You know, you could have your 3-year-old say, "I want a pocket knife for my birthday." All right? Probably not a good idea to give them. Or a 16-year-old saying, "I want a motorcycle." Well, maybe some could, I don't know. Anyway, you know, your 12-year-old said, "I want to stay out all night with my friends." I mean, there's just all kinds of illustrations that we could give of things that our children or young people would ask us, and it's like, that's not appropriate. That's, you may think that's wonderful, you know, or having ice cream for every meal. Some of you struggle with that, I know. I'm just saying, and your spouse says no. But we even see examples of this in Scripture, right? When Peter and James and John go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and they're so overawed by God's glory and Jesus' glory and Elijah and Moses. And what does Peter say? He says, "Lord, let's build some tents and just stay here." You know, I mean, that's not a prayer per se, but it's almost like he's talking to Jesus, asking. And Jesus says, no, we got work to do down there. He says, this is not appropriate. All right. I think of James and John asking for the 2 best seats in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, nope, that's for my Father to decide. All right. That may not be the best thing for you. James and John wanting to call fire down out of heaven. You know, that's not appropriate. So, you know, if we ask God for something and we determine he said no because it's not appropriate, we're in good company. Peter, James, John, you know, the 3 that were closest to Jesus. But it also shows that our motivation is important too. Sometimes we can ask for something good for the wrong motives. You know, I could pray as a pastor, "Lord, help my church grow, help our church grow, help our church grow." And my whole point is I want to be able to brag. You know, I want it to make me look good. So we always got to look at our motivation too. So why does God say no to us? Because he knows what's best, for the same reasons. You know, we're adults. We think, well, if I want something, I know it's good for me. But in God's sight, it's just like we're little kids. Yeah, Errol. Yeah, sometimes we're asking for something, and God has something better for us, like the blind man at the temple in Acts chapter 3. Yeah. You know, I like this statement. One person put it this way. Sometimes God says no to us because he loves us too much to say yes. He loves us too much to say yes. He knows that if he gives us what we ask for, it's going to be a problem. I heard somebody one time explain it according to this teaching Jesus gave, is if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Or you ask for a fish, will he give you a serpent? We don't know it, but sometimes we're asking for a stone. We're asking for a serpent. And he says, no, I'm going to give you bread. I'm going to give you fish. We're asking for something that's bad or dangerous or inappropriate for us. God says, no, I got something better for you. You know, you probably are all in the same boat. You look back and you say, I'm so glad God didn't let me marry that first person I thought I wanted to marry. Some of you may be sitting back there saying, I wish he would have let me marry that first person I wanted to marry. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of other things that we may have asked God for at some point in time, and then he said no. You know, whatever it might be. You know, a certain job. Maybe you applied for a job, really wanted that job, and you didn't get the job. It's like, oh, God, why? And then later on, you realize, oh, I'm so glad I didn't get that job because I got a better one. I can tell you just about every single place we've been in ministry was not the first place we thought we were going to go. The first place we played an application, the first place that said, hey, maybe we'll have you come. And then when it turned out it wasn't going to happen, I got story after story of times that we thought we were going to go one place to be a youth pastor or a pastor or whatever. And it's like, God shut that door. It's like, God, why? And then he opened a total door, you know? I mean, there was a place that we were looking at very, very closely before we came here. And God totally shut that door and opened this one, and I'm so glad he did. Yeah, Chris.
I was going to say when I heard
so. Yeah, I mean, there's so many times that we really want something so badly, and God just says no. Now, sometimes we never know why. It's a great story in Acts chapter 12 where James is arrested, and he's put to death by Herod. And shortly after that, Herod puts Peter in jail. He's getting ready to kill him too. And the church is praying. And an angel releases Peter from jail. Why did he release Peter and not James? Because he liked Peter more, right? No, we don't know. In God's plan for each of them, there's a different. And James, it was his time. He was put to death for his faith. It became a testimony to the church, both then and all through history. And for God's purposes, Peter was delivered. I mean, later Peter was put to death for his faith, but not at that point, okay? Second thing there is sometimes a good father must say, not yet. Not yet. Now, we definitely don't like no answers, but we don't really care for not yet answers either, do we? We live in a society where we're so used to getting what we want now. If we can't afford it, we just charge it. You know, we live in a day of microwaves. You know, what used to you have to cook for this an hour and a half you can stick in a microwave or an instant pot or something else and have it done quick. You know, we go to a restaurant and if we don't get our food in 10 minutes, like, what taking them so long? You know, in fact, I was remembering back to the days of when you had to develop film. You remember that? You'd take pictures, you had to develop, you'd send it off and get it back in a couple weeks. And I mean, it's been a while, but I remember the days when it's like there was this new company. You could mail it in, you'd get it back in 3 days. It's like, my goodness, you can take pictures and get them back in 3 days. And now we take pictures on our phones and our tablets and our computers and we got them right there. If we want to print them out, we can print them out. But why print them out? You don't have to. You can just post it on social media. Everybody can see it. You know, we're so used to having things now, okay? Children also hate to hear no, and they also hate to hear not yet. What are some examples of things that your parents told you growing up, you can do that, but not yet? Any examples? Well, parents tell you not going to have, but what are some examples that parents say, well, yeah, you can do that, but not yet, you have to wait? Driving a car, yeah. You go to your parents when you're 11 or 10 or whatever. Maybe some of you were driving cars at 10 or 11. But anyway,
driving a motorbike.
Okay, some said not while I'm still alive, right? Or not till hell freezes. You know, not now, but later, okay? How many of you ladies makeup? Someday, but not yet. Nobody? Okay. All right, some of you, yeah. Okay. Going on dates?
Older than I am.
Huh?
When she's older than
you are. Okay. How about going on dates? You know? Yeah. Amanda. Oh, okay. So not wanting you to get a job until a certain time. Okay. So there's a lot of things that we say not yet. And why? What are some reasons why it may be a good thing someday, but it's not a good thing right now? You don't understand the value of it. Yeah, Chris. Right. The timing. But why is the timing not right? Okay, sometimes just because of reasons God knows. Sometimes it's because you have to have a certain level of understanding, a certain level of maturity, a certain level of experience, a certain level of proficiency. Like you would probably let your 5-year-old drive your car. You know, but when they get older and maybe they got, you know, more understanding, you know, all these things. So there's a lot of reasons why there may be something that'll be good someday, but not now. And the same thing is true for God. There's times we ask God for things. He says, that's a good thought, but not yet. And God says, I have my reasons. Sometimes it's to test our faith, help us grow and mature. Maybe we're not ready. Okay. You know, get back to the whole thing with relationships. We're praying about a relationship and God says, you need to grow a little bit before you have a relationship of that level, of that depth, of that commitment. You know, maybe it's because we're asking for something that's really good. And God says, well, I've got that for you, but it's, you're looking here and it's over here, or you're not actually thinking high enough. I got something better than that. So there's just so many reasons why God would want us to wait. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay. Number three on there. Sometimes a good father must say, there's something you must do first. Did you ever go to your parents and ask for something? They said, okay, yeah, you can have that, but first you have to, boom, yeah. Verissa, raise your hand. I'm sure we all have experienced that. Did you have a specific instance in mind, Verissa? Okay, so when your daughter asked you for something, you told her to give you an A. I assume you meant a grade. Yeah, at school, or she wanted her to grade you an A? Okay. Okay, it's cool. Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but as a parent, sometimes my daughters would ask us for stuff, and we would ask them to do something, not because we couldn't give it to them, or we didn't think it was a good thing, but we wanted to know how serious they were. You didn't want to go out and spend money on something, and then they use it for 5 minutes and throw it away. You know, I mean, sometimes we even said, well, yeah, we'll do, are you willing to pay for part of it? You know, and again, it wasn't we were being mean or stingy, it's like, how important is this to you? How serious is this to you? But, you know, sometimes we ask God and he says, there's something you got to do first. And I've given these illustrations before. If we're praying for God, praying to God for a job, we need to do our part and go out and look for one. Okay? And so just sitting home saying, God, give me a job, give me, and just wait for the phone to ring. We laugh, but people do that kind of stuff, right? You know, or we pray that God will heal our marriage. But we're not willing to be that husband or that wife that God calls us to be. It's like, well, God, it healed my marriage, but there's nothing wrong with me. Work on that woman of mine, you know, or that man of mine, you know, instead of saying, God, what do I need to change in my life, you know, to be a better husband, to be a better wife? We're praying to God for money to pay bills, but we're not willing to work. Praying for healing, but we're doing all kinds of self-destructive things to our bodies. You know, so sometimes God will say, yeah, I'll work in that situation, but you've got to do your part. So a good thing to ask is when you're praying for anything is, Lord, here's my request. Is there anything that I should be doing about this? Okay. Is there anything I should be doing about this? Okay. Sometimes we just need some attitudes or actions changed. And sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with the situation. It has to do with our relationship with God or with somebody else. And that brings us to number four. Prayer is effective when we're in right relationship with God and with others. You know, how effective is your child or grandchild in receiving something from you if they just ticked you off? And they come and say, oh, by the way, can I have a candy bar? No. Tell you what you can have a timeout. All right? In the same way, you know, if we're in right relationship with God, that helps a lot. Or how about if our children or grandchildren are not in right relationship with each other? You know, if you're watching your grandkids and they are fighting with each other back and forth and they come, oh, grandma, granddad, or nana, papa, whatever they call you, can I have some, whatever. It's like, no, you got to get that worked out with your sister. And the Bible shows us that that's the way it is in our relationship with God and a relationship with our brothers and sisters. Okay, there are things that get in the way. And get in the way of God answering prayers, I believe, that he wants to answer. Okay, I remember reading a book by Bill Hybels on prayer. And he gave this illustration. He said it's sort of like when your lawnmower breaks down and you need to borrow your neighbor's. And so you're walking over to the neighbor's house to borrow the lawnmower, and his dog comes out in the yard and goes, yip, 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 and you're so irritated, you just take a swing at the kick at the dog, and you look up, and your neighbor's standing on the porch. Not going to be much fun asking to borrow his lawnmower at that moment. You see that? Okay, yeah. And so anyway, but Bill Hybels calls these things prayer busters. These are things that God may want to answer your prayer. It may want to do it exactly the way you say, but these are things that get in the way. We're just going to do these really quick. Letter A is one we've already talked about a couple weeks ago, prayerlessness. Prayerlessness, and we don't pray. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you don't ask. Sometimes we've got this stuff weighing us down. We got this, and we don't even, we talk about it. We call everybody. We ask everybody else to pray for us, but we're not praying about ourselves. We read books. Okay? And all this stuff, it may not be bad. But, you know, we may even be working really hard at getting solved, but we don't take the time to pray. Before we complain that God's not answered our prayer, we need to look at our lives and say, have I really sought God about this? Okay? Letter B, unconfessed sin. Sin always puts a barrier between us and God, even if we have a relationship with Him, even if we've given our lives to Christ, you know? But if we have sin in our life that we've not dealt with, it puts a barrier between us and God. Just like when our kids come to us after they've really ticked us off deliberately or whatever. It's like, let's get this thing worked out. Then we can talk about what it is you want. All right? Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So if we're really praying about something, we really think it's a good thing. We really think it's something God wants us to have. We say, God, is there something? You know, something that's not right between me and you. Now, don't get paranoid. You know, if you think everything's right between you and God and He's not answering your prayers the way you want, you don't want to just necessarily feel like, oh, there must be some hidden sin in my life that's so hidden, it's hidden from me. If you honestly come to God and say, is there anything not pleasing in my life, anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, God will show you. God will show you. Okay? So, unconfessed sin. Letter C, unresolved relational conflict. Okay, this goes back to what we were talking about. If, you know, as a parent or a grandparent and your kids or grandkids are fighting with each other, you want them to get that worked out before you go do something fun, all right, or whatever. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, again, in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, listen, if you are coming to God to worship Him, He says to offer a sacrifice, whatever, but in our context, to worship Him, to spend time with Him, and there you remember you got something going on that's not right between you and your brother, just leave your sacrifice. In other words, leave that time with God and go get it worked out. That's how important our relationships are with each other in God's sight. Okay? Now, there's only so much we can do. We've got to do our part. If we've done our part and the other person refuses to get it worked out, then we've at least done our part. A passage I forgot to put on your note sheet, so you might want to write this down, 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. It says there, basically, to paraphrase, if a husband does not treat his wife right, it will hinder his prayers. Now, not speaking on the authority of God's word, but basically biblical scripture, I think it works the other way too. The ladies don't want to say amen to that one. If wives are not relating with their husbands as they should, it can hinder their prayers. I really believe that with all my heart. Now, I don't have the scripture to back that one up. The scripture does say if husbands don't treat their wives right, it'll hinder their prayers. So our relationships are so important. I think God's a lot more committed to our relationships than we are. So, all right, then D, selfishness. If what we're asking for is just for selfish, I mean, it doesn't mean that it can't be for ourselves. We need healing, we need deliverance, we need provision. That's fine, but if it's just so totally self-focused and self-centered, well, let me just put it the way James does. James 4:3, he says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." It's very, very selfish. Letter E, inadequate faith. Inadequate faith. James 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Does this mean that we have to have perfect faith to receive anything from God? No, otherwise we'd receive nothing. Okay, not perfect faith, but we have to have faith. You won't just come to God and say, well, God, I'm asking you for this, but I really don't think you're going to do it. I really don't think you care. I really don't, you know, but I'm going to ask you anyway. You know, and that's something that, you know, there's no real cut and dried in how much faith do you have to have and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you look back to that illustration I told you before in Acts chapter 12, when the church is praying for Peter, God delivered Peter. But when Peter shows up, they're like, that can't be Peter. He must be dead. It's his ghost. Shows how much faith they had he was going to be delivered, right? It's like, that could be Peter. He's in jail. Remember, we're praying that he gets released. Well, don't you think him being there was him being released? Anyway, you know, sometimes God, the thing that's really cool is that if we have the smallest amount of faith, God responds to that. Okay. So anyway, there's a number of things. There may be some other things that are prayer busters, but those are things to look for. Okay. Okay. So as we wrap this up, I know I've been rushing because I've got a time deadline here. Have you ever known, hopefully you weren't one, but a parent who had a favorite child? They got better treatment than the other children. We've known them, right? Hopefully we weren't one of them. All right. The good thing is that God's not that way. You know, all these things we talked about, God even applied to Jesus. I've mentioned this before, maybe even in the context of this thing. If you ever feel bad because God told you no about a prayer request, remember he told Jesus no too. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, I don't like this plan, God. To paraphrase, if there's any way we can do this any other way, just I don't want to go through with the cross. And God said no, because there was no other way. So God doesn't have any favorite children. He treats us all the same. So as we wrap this all up, summarize this thing, effective prayer is about relationship, not just results. We need to get away from the mindset that says, well, I'm praying about this, 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 and this, but God's not doing it, so it's not very effective. No, effective prayer is about I'm in right relationship with God. I'm spending time with him every day. I'm growing in my relationship. I'm trying to live for him, and we're talking about everything, and I'm just trusting him to do what he knows is best, okay? So the question is to ask is, are we in right relationship with God? Are we coming to him to grow in our relationship with him and to align with his purposes? And are we willing to trust him when his answer is not what we want it to be? If we can get to the point where all three of those answers are yes, or we're working real hard to make them yes, our prayers are tremendously effective, whether we get everything we want or part of what we want or whatever, because it's like, God, I'm trusting you. And we're in right relationship, and we're talking all the time. And our relationship is growing. And my prayer is us communicating, and that's what's most important. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we've had tonight to wrap up this lesson. And God, I pray again that you would just help us to look at prayer as just being in right relationship with you, talking to you about everything all the time, growing in that relationship and just trusting you. Bringing to you our needs and our requests just like we would to a good father, because you are a good father, and trusting that you're going to take care of us. And whatever you choose to give or not give or make happen, and whenever it happens, it's under your control and you're going to do it because you know that's what's best for us. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.